Today I want to talk about connecting the dots, or as a subtitle, mining for gold. I think that we have a tremendous number of experiences in our direct life, as well as in the lives of our ancestors, that have tremendous value. And if we can discover those events, incidents, characteristics, qualities, and recognize their values, we would have literally mined our history for gold. There's a way of looking at the people and events, especially those that are in our own lifetimes, but also in our ancestors, so we can increase our sense of connectedness. What they did has impacted us, and recognize the value of what they did and what they experienced can increase our own self-worth, and in that sense, shift the way we proceed in life, the way we view ourselves and other people, and so on. In the past, I've talked about healing our roots or healing our histories as ways that are essential to letting the healing spirit flow to us and through us. If we're in fear, if we doubt ourselves, if we are in the experience of not enoughness, we will tend to self-protect. And by self-protecting, there's oftentimes a lot of disconnection that occurs with that as we pull back, withdraw, withhold ourselves from other things and other people. So this idea today is about connecting the dots, those experiences, those events, that have occurred over time, those facts in our history that can be actually recognized as gold. It's easy to see, and it's actually common for us to look at individuals, as if they're separate, particularly in the U.S. In the U.S., we've pretty much have taken on this concept of rugged individualism as part of our national identity, as if anybody does anything by themselves. People who consider themselves or even are put upon stages as if they were self-made men or self-made women distorts the truth. Nobody is self-made. Nobody is self-made. If the people were self-made, they would have conceived themselves physically, delivered themselves, and grown up by themselves. And there are no babies that fall into that category. We are made by our connections to others. If we look at events or people or experiences or even ourselves as unconnected, as separate, as individuals, we are distorting reality. This interconnection, even to the fact that if you look at your body really is derived from physical elements that have come out of the soil. The food that you eat has come out of the soil, and it is those components that we've translated into our physical structure. When we think occurrences are separate, they're unconnected events, it becomes more difficult for us to see patterns of cause and effect, because they just happened. They just happened. There's no reason. I don't see any beginning. I don't see any end. It just was this event in time and space. That's actually not true. When we start putting in the dots, that is, these events, by documenting them, we recognize these facts of our existence, we can start to go, was I just born where I was born, in my case in the United States, in the state of New York, on Long Island, in Suffolk County, in a small village called Greenport? Those are the facts. But those facts have tremendous significance if I'm willing to mine them for gold. If we can start drawing connections between cause and effect by looking at these dots of facts that I just highlighted, U.S., New York, Long Island, Suffolk County, that sort of thing, we start to connect those and recognizing there are certain opportunities, there are certain influences that I experienced as a result of those facts that somebody born elsewhere, Canada, Africa, South America, in the middle of the United States, didn't experience. They had different experiences, different incidents, different events in their lives. I may have mentioned a terrific book last week that I just finished reading. It's titled Outliers, O-U-T-L-I-E-R-S, one word, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. And people who lie outside the norm, that's what he's referring to by the word outliers, that's what the book is about. It's a story of success and how those people became successful, and it was not by rugged individualism. I heartily recommend this book. It is not only about success, but the factors, the waves, the energy, the inputs that result in success. What is true for me after reading about the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs, and successful hockey players and scientists and others is that in your life and in my life, there are many of these factors of success existing. These events in our lives haven't been documented by us. And that's what I refer to, or I mean when I say dots. If we can find those dots, those facts that can become stepping stones to our own success, we are literally changing the way we view our history. And I think if we dig around a little bit in our history, in this lifetime, or in our parents' lifetimes, or grandparents' lifetimes, and so on, our ethnic backgrounds or our cultural backgrounds, we're going to find these stepping stones to success. And having those makes our journey much more pleasant, much more energized, more empowered, more fun, and of course, more successful. When we literally note the events that support us, we're going to be in a much better place. Now, some of the dots, some of these events are time-oriented, such as our date of birth, the dates of birth of our parents, dates of birth of our grandparents, and so on. Life is different being born, say, 1950 in the United States versus being born 1850 in the United States versus being born in 1750 in the United States. And, of course, that final element of the United States really is geography-oriented facts. And so, in certain cases, they're ethnically oriented, depending on our race. So the time of our births, the location of our births, our ethnicity, as well as our race, all contribute to the inputs that we would have experienced over the course of our lives. Going for a walk of 1 mile, this is metaphorical, the trip is going to be a mile in length. During that mile, we're going to take a lot of steps. Now, in the English measurement system, there are 5,280 feet, 12-inch segments, in a mile. But when we walk, we are taking bigger steps than 12 inches, if we're adults or fairly well grown. And so if you just divide that in half, say 2,000 to 2,500 steps, we're going to walk in that mile journey. We have the ability, when we take that 2,000, 2,500 steps, to notice all kinds of things. We can notice pretty much anything that we want during that journey. And this is similar to the journey of life. Depending on our previous training, and I can recall this as a child, walking on the railroad tracks was just about a mile between where we lived and my living grandmother lived. I had one grandparent still alive when I was born. We walked on the railroad track. Guess what? The space between the ties, so we would walk on the ties, not in between them, on the really very rugged and uneven rocks. So the ties in that environment dictated the length of my stride. And so Based upon our training, we were looking for blackberry bushes and raspberry bushes along the way. We were looking at some of the railroad signs. We were clearly waiting to hear railroad whistles of an oncoming train so we could get out of the way. So we're noticing birds in the, as we walked through wooded areas and so on. We were looking at what we were looking at because we had been influenced to recognize these things as important, interesting, valuable. Squirrels and birds and raccoons and all kinds of things, listening to the sounds of them. Now, if we stumbled on that path by misstriding or wanting to take a stride that was longer or shorter than the ties would naturally let us be, we would have tripped. And, of course, some of us noticed bees on the trip. Some of us noticed poison ivy in the weeds. And some of us noticed snakes occasionally crossing the railroad tracks. So we could have perceived those dangers and made the journey of a mile all about the dangers. One of the things that we often overlook is the percentage of success, successes in quotes, in our activities. Let's categorize success and not success. That's anything other than success in our journey. And so when you really think about some of these things, we want to succeed 100% of the time, but that tends not to be reality. Years ago when I was in the military, I was stationed in Panama in the Canal Zone. And I was leading an expedition across the Continental Divide in Panama. And on the Atlantic side of the Continental Divide, my troops and I encountered a gold miner. I couldn't tell how old he was. He certainly looked to be in his 70s, but because of the rugged nature of that existence, he may have been younger. Perhaps that was his actual age. So let's say I had came across a 70-year-old gold miner who was panning for gold in the river of the Choco region of Panama. This was mountainous, filled with jungles, underpopulated, very few people out there. And in fact, the Choco Indians were the normal citizens of this area. And by our standards, had a lifestyle that was very unaffected by civilization. Right? No TV, no radios, no electricity, no indoor plumbing, that sort of thing. The women were bare-breasted, so they dressed in traditional Indian style. Well, this gentleman used to pan, or he was panning for gold. And he agreed for a fee to lead us over the Continental Divide. And so that was an interesting experience. But it's the panning of gold that I want to talk about. We rested for a day at the foot of the Continental Divide, and my soldiers started panning with gold, just sitting in the river and swirling through, and would handle stone after stone, dirt, silt, mud, rocks, pebbles of varying sizes, and occasionally coming across a flake of gold. Now, if you really look at that process, the gold miner and my troops were literally handling pound after pound after pound of dirt and rock and not success in order to find one teeny, teeny evidence of success. That teeny evidence of success being a flake of gold. I would imagine, if I calculated percentages, the amount of not gold in that process would be about 99.99999% of the time they were experiencing not success. If the gold miner put his attention on not gold or not success that he was going through, he would have had to have become discouraged, depressed, or worse. Obviously, that's not how he shaped his experience. That's not how he interpreted his goal panning. That's not the meaning he gave to his experiences in this process. He didn't invest energy in the idea that not gold was failure. It didn't have to have that meaning for him, and he didn't give it that meaning. So mining has the requirement of looking past the not gold and looking for the gold. Success in gold mining follows this pattern. I think success in life, your life and my life, follows the same pattern. And healing our past involves the same pattern of looking at the process, looking for the good until we find it, and not investing energy in the quotes not good end quotes, not investing energy in the not success, in not investing energy in the not gold. Now, in this process of evaluating or mining our pasts for gold, there are a lot of different ways to look at gold. You could change that word gold to good. We're mining our past for the good. There are a lot of interpretations for that, and we can choose whatever we want. We are doing the mining. If we start to examine our past, the dots, these events, these incidents, these facts of our birth, of our existence, and our family's existences, we are in a position to be able to look past the dirt, the rocks, the pebbles, the hardship, and find the gold in that. So let's get back to us. When we begin to learn more about our past through recall, conversations, and, as I've mentioned, exploring our own genealogy, and I think it pays to study the history of the times, because somebody born in those different epochs that I just mentioned, somebody born in 1950 or 1850 or 1750, those individuals are going to be influenced by the politics, the finances, the life, the culture at that time. So it makes sense to gain a greater connectedness by becoming involved in the energies of those times. When we go to our roots, we connect more effectively. And the main purpose of the process of connecting to our roots, much like a plant would think it's a good idea to be connected to its roots, is that nourishment, nurturing, power, energy can be delivered from our roots to us in present time. But in order for that to occur, we have to be connected to our roots. That's an exciting possibility. I don't know about you, but I didn't get much training in finding gold in my experiences growing up. Now, I heard cliches like count your blessings, but that seems to be connected more to stop your complaining, and because what you have is better than what other people have, and it's really more done to squelch complaining or whining than to, you know, as a form of empowerment. And if we become, unlike the gold miner, fixated on noticing the pebbles rather than the gold, life discouraging. If we change our orientation through setting our intention, and in the healing codes, one of the key modalities that I'm involved with, we can consciously re-examine our past. We can look more deeply into the river, the streams that have brought us into existence, and we can uncover the gold in those relationships, in those experiences, and in our history. I sometimes see the bumper sticker that says, "Proud to be an American." every single time I do, I wonder why a person would have that on their car. Blessed to be an American completely resonates with me. Grateful to be in America, or grateful to be an American, that makes sense to me too. But I don't understand being proud of something which we had no causative influence over. We didn't produce Americanism. We didn't produce Americanness. We didn't achieve this status. It's not through hard work or intelligence or dedication or any other attribute. We're Americans because of the location of our mother's wombs when we were born. There's no real great achievement in that from our standpoint. It's, you know, a great deal of fortune. But proud to be that? Happy to be that, for sure. I am in Mexico right now delivering this talk. On Friday, I gave a tip to a young Mexican man who was the attendant in the public bathroom at the Cancun airport. He made the sign of the cross after he received the money from me, and that's a standard act for a Catholic down here. And he made as if he were kissing the money, and he thanked me sincerely. I asked about that on previous trips to Mexico, and I know that this is at least done with the first money received the day, the first sale made, the first tip received. And perhaps later in the day it's done for, you know, subsequent sales or tips received. One of the main reasons is this is an expression of gratitude. They are thanking God for this gift that has come to them. And they open themselves and their hearts and their minds with gratitude. And they ask that this be the beginning of multiple experiences of a similar nature that day. That is, they receive more money. They're blessed in multiple ways during the day. I like that. I like that. The street corner vendors and beach vendors here have to me, because I have a sales background in corporate America for 20-some years, these folks have amazing stamina to look past the no's and the no thanks and the no gracias as they expect the sale to show up. They must believe that they simply have to keep panning for gold, keep trying, keep asking until the gold shows up. Are Mexicans blessed by being born in Mexico? That depends on how they want to interpret this fact. Having beautiful weather, being adjacent to the United States so it's easy for tourists to get here, having a culture that is steeped in hard work, and to a large extent, the natural hospitality of the cultures here in Mexico, one could say they are blessed by their locations. You know, as a person who was born in the United States, I am one of the three main groups of North Americans. Now, we tend to think of the United States people being North Americans, but North America is a continent. That continent has Mexicans. Mexico is a part of the continent, Canada is part of the continent, and the United States of America is part of that continent. So there are three groups of us that are North Americans. We could all say that we are blessed by the fact that our ancestors emigrated from Europe or Asia or Africa or Australia or South America to the United States or to Canada or to Mexico. We didn't do it. Probably. Our ancestors did it. We're blessed by their having done that. Looking at our pasts, identifying the dots that represent blessings to us, will allow us to connect and have now this pipeline, this cord, this channel of healing energy to flow to us and through us. We become more like that gold miner who is filtering lots of stuff to find the gold without getting bogged down and or discouraged or hurt by the not gold in his experiences. Clearly, he encounters 99.99% of not gold in that. But he has other things going for him. Autonomy. He makes the decision as to when to mine for gold during the day. Is it early in the morning? Is it all morning? Is it early afternoon? Is it all afternoon? Is it early evening? He can do it anytime he wants. And he's connected to Mother Earth. That's got to be empowering. He's got to find it useful because he is producing results. And depending on the level of complexity he wants to add to it, just with a pan, that is less. But if he can divert, and he did, the river some so that more dirt flows in a particular channel, he adds complexity to it so it's more interesting, it's more intellectually stimulating for him. He didn't make the not gold about him. He didn't make the 99.9% of not gold hurt or damage his self-worth. He didn't make it about God punishing him by making him struggle so hard for that 0.00001%. He didn't make it a curse about being born in a place where a man can or has to pan for gold in order to be a part of the economic system. He chose to see it differently. He chose to see the dots as good. He chose to see the dots as gold. So what dots, what gold are we looking for? And where do we look here in 2009 in the remainder of our lives? We can start by itemizing the qualities of our parents. Now, for some people, it's like, yikes, oh, wow, I never did that. We can expand our view of our parents. We can identify facts. We can identify their thoughts, their opinions, their characteristics. And as we do that, those dots, we can start looking deeper and find value in them. Because our parents are our main teachers, and they had two primary teaching modalities or methodologies. Number one, how to do it. Number two, how not to do it. And they demonstrated them both to us. And sometimes they talked about ways to do it, and didn't do it that way. They talked about it, you know, do what I say, not what I do. And that falls into those other two modalities that I already mentioned. We can list those things today that we, in our own lives, find valuable. And looking back, we'll be able to see where they came from, where that sense of value came from. It's not that difficult. Look at your own life and see what you value. And then go back in time and see where the seed of that came from. In my family of origin, reading, language, words, writing, speaking were highly valued. We used to get 3 newspapers a day, sometimes 4. Books were on shelves, desks, tables, nightstands. They were everywhere in my house. Where did we get the value of reading and writing from? Where did it begin? Well, I'm not totally sure of that. But in terms of one half of my family, being on the Irish side, I know the Irish are noted for their love of language. So there's a factor. But my Irish-born grandmother had to illegally learn to read and write in a cave because it was against the British law in Ireland for the Irish children to learn to read and write. Her being repressed led to her valuing reading and writing and books. And it led to me and my siblings being encouraged to read and write and to honor language. And this is due to, even though we never met my grandmother. My grandmother died before any of the 7 of us were born. She put gold in my stream that ended up in my pan, even though she died more than 10 years before I was born. So I owe my love of reading and writing and words and language to my grandmother and to my parents, who also loved reading and writing. In my father's case, it's easy to understand why, because of his mother. These gifts of gold came to us. The reason I'm talking on the telephone today is the same kind of influence. This is a gift from my grandmother, my parents, and here I am. I talk about viewing life from 12 different perspectives, and I call these perspectives 12 worlds. And they are spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, political, community, and maintenance. Basically, I imagine starting from the top with the spiritual and working my way down as a way to make it easier to remember. So, when we think of who we are, that is, our identity, what we do and how we do it, and what we have and what we value, these are primarily the result of the gifts that we have received in any of these areas. If you look at your spiritual attitudes and your spiritual upbringing, which would include, in this case, your religious training, the way religion was presented to you, and what you could have learned along the way, you have the ability to re-sift that and let go of any rocks that you held on to that were given to you. Here, hold on to this rock when you were really looking for gold. And you can re-sift and find gold that before you didn't recognize or didn't appreciate was gold the first time around. And so we've been given these gifts by our families, our cultures, our religions, our geography, and even our races. And by intentionally seeking to see the gold, by looking for it, by being willing to expand our viewpoint and choosing another viewpoint about these dots, now all of a sudden we're willing to connect to them instead of keeping them separate, instead of resisting them out of fear and self-protection. When we look at these dots, look deeper, sift deeper, pan deeper for the gold, we will find our gold, our value, our worth, our uniqueness, our connection to the healing spirit, our connection to our Creator. And then we will be much more willing, more able to see gold in other people. We can look deeper. We can look deeper to find the gold in them as well and connect to them. We can connect the dot that we are to the dots that they are. I'd like to end the service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, Creator and connection to all that is. Thank you for all of our blessings. Thank you for expanding our consciousness and awareness so we recognize the truth of our many, many blessings. May we connect to those blessings, help others connect to their blessings, help us to connect to other people who are, in fact, blessings to us, just as we can be blessings to them. Bless our families, our friends, our histories, our roots, and our connection to all. Thank you. It is done. Amen.